fighting for America.
Not only do we have to win this legal fight, but we're still going to have to pass a law through Congress. The bottom line is, Jose, that I'm using all of the legal power vested in me.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're in a kind of situation where, the end of the Roman Republic 2,000 years ago, and it's very disturbing, completely apart from the substance of immigration policy.
Fighting for you.
Thank goodness that you're there to at least allow us a voice. We need that. And we love you, brother. And we love the guests that you bring on. You're amazing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. He's back, our friend Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. And he's in trouble. We'll be talking to him at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But we also have some breaking news here, and we brought this to you earlier today on a variety of the Facebooks, Kevin Miller Show, 580-KIDO. I think I even tweeted this out at Kevin Miller Show. President Obama is using executive orders to impose gun control in the nation, targeting the top-selling rifle in the country, the AR-15, with a ban on one of the most used AR bullets by sportsmen and target shooters. According to the ATF, this month revealed that it's proposing to put the ban on the 5.56mm ammo on fast track, immediately driving up the price of bullets and prompting retailers, including Cabela's, to urge sportsmen to urge Congress to stop the president. Greg, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on again, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Timing is everything. What do you make of this?
Yeah, this is their end around for gun control. They're banning a round that's been used for many years by sportsmen. And, what they're really trying to do is get the public behind it by calling it armor-piercing rounds, which it really isn't at all. And that's how they're going to try and drive this force to ban this ammunition. But it's not armor-piercing at all. In fact, they removed it from their armor-piercing list because it doesn't qualify. And so this is an end around for gun control. Again, the government intruding on the Second Amendment. And, we're always told that we're fear-mongering. Well, Obama's probably the best gun and ammo salesman that we've ever had, I guess. So, it's got to stop, Kevin. And this is what the big national gun groups are good for, is to step up and block these types of actions.
Well, and we'll get to more about the national groups as we move along. Let's talk a little bit about you. You've been in the paper again and again and again here at 580KIDO with your proposal for House Bill 89. Right now, the Senate version is dead. We heard from Senator Hagedorn last week on this program about it. We actually had a poll, which do you prefer, the House bill, the Senate bill? So let's continue on here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You have a sponsor for it. Where is House Bill 89?
Well, first, what was the results of that poll, Kevin? You remember the percentage?
Overwhelmingly for the House bill.
Okay. So just
like 92%, I believe, something like that. 95%.
All right. So the liberals voted for the other 8%, I'm guessing.
Apparently.
I'm just kidding. So House Bill 89 is still in Chairman Lurcher's committee. He's still holding on to it. His excuse for holding on to it has changed depending on which day you talk to him. The first excuse was he wanted to make sure it didn't compete with the Senate bill. He now admits that it does not compete with the Senate bill, although we told him that from day one. Now he says, well, we want to make sure that, it doesn't affect Idaho law. And so we tried to clear up what exactly he was referring to. And he said, well, it might affect our reciprocity with other states. And generally what you're hearing is Nevada and Washington may or may not drop the enhanced carry permit reciprocity if we do constitutional carry here in the state of Idaho.
Right. That's the big threat, that the folks up north that are right next door to Washington, or maybe those folks that live close to Ontario, if they're concealing carrying, all of a sudden they're lawbreakers in other states.
Yeah, and they're really, all this is a stalling tactic by the Republicans in the House to not let House Bill 89 go forward by, scaring people into not supporting constitutional carry. First of all, Kevin, we will not, and the legislators better not, let other states dictate the terms of our freedom here in the state of Idaho. That's the bottom line. We have looked at this bill over and over, and there's no reason, based on Washington and Nevada law, that they would drop us for reciprocity on the enhanced carry permit unless they were doing it out of spite. They just hated the fact that we were moving towards a freer state And they said, you know what, we're just going to drop reciprocity with you. If that's the case, so be it. For years now, people up in northern Idaho that go to Washington frequently went to Washington and got a non-resident permit. It's actually easier than the enhanced carry permit. The bottom line is they are trying to protect this enhanced carry permit that we opposed because we knew that if they did this permit, it would make constitutional carry all that much more harder, and it's proving true.
Greg Pruitt with us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So now let's get to the accusations against your group. That your group and others like you have been harassing members of the Idaho House and perhaps the Idaho Senate.
Yeah, right now a lot of the frustration and anger of Idaho gun owners is towards Chairman Lurcher and Speaker Behnke. Now, harassed by harassment, I guess if you mean that we're calling, thousands of Idahoans are calling and emailing Chairman Lurcher and demanding that he put a House bill forward, you know, that doesn't constitute harassment. Now, are there some gun owners in the state of Idaho that maybe have gone too far and said some things that weren't were inappropriate? Probably. But, you know, we're not going to tell people not to call and express their opinion. Every time that we tell people to email their legislators, we tell them to be firm but respectful. And that's the bottom line. That's what you got to do. But you need to make your voices heard. And so we're not going to stop because a few bad apples, and for all we know, they might be plants, are calling Chairman Lurcher's family and maybe saying some things that they shouldn't. That should absolutely stop if you're harassing or threatening his family. And he can take legal action against those people if he needs to.
Right. So basically, there's no proof. There's just the chairman saying that he's been harassed.
Yeah, well, we haven't heard anything yet, and I'm not calling him a liar necessarily. I'm just saying, you know, that if those things have happened, I know that lots and lots of other Idahoans have been very civil with their request that House Bill 89 given a hearing because I've seen a lot of those emails. I always get CC'd on those emails. And so I've seen a lot of them, and they're very respectful.
Well, what do you make of this, though? I mean, you don't want these people, I mean, should they not call him at home? Should they not call him in his office?
No, they should call him any time. You know, lawmakers are, you know, they're big boys. They should be able to take phone calls at home or at their office. All their home phone numbers are generally published in the legislative directory or on their campaign pages. And, you know, a lot of Idaho citizens, you know, Chairman Lurcher said, well, I'm not at my home right now. But a lot of citizens don't necessarily know where he lives. In fact, almost all of them probably don't know where he lives unless they're in his district. And so if you get somebody from northern Idaho calling, you know, they're saying, hey, I'm going to call this number, and maybe he's going home every night. Maybe they think he lives down here in the Boise area, and he does go home every day. So there's, you know, they got to understand that not everybody knows where these guys live. I know where he is.
Right,
so,
but I mean, this is a big accusation that your group is harassing them.
Yeah.
I mean, that made the papers.
Yeah.
It made the you rabid gun guys running wild.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic because, you know, we're not down there blocking them from going to work. We're not down there hiding in their closets and other things.
Huh.
All we've simply done is told people to call his office, him and Speaker Behnke, and email them and let them know that you want to hear House Bill 89. You want it to go to a full hearing and to a full vote on the House. That's what we've done. That's it.
Greg Pruitt with us here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Have you made a difference?
I think so. I think Idaho gun owners are sick and tired of the political games that are being played down in Idaho, in Idaho's capital. You know, everybody talks about the D.C. politics and the dirty games that go on in Washington, D.C. It's no different at the state houses, and not just Idaho, across the country. It's all the same. They have their own agenda. They do what they want, and whatever the citizens want goes to the wayside. You know, for years now, we keep telling these guys constitutional carry is the top priority of Idaho gun owners and has been for several years since we've started polling people. And by your poll alone, you know, that's overwhelming. People want to see it happen. And yet they have the choice. The Senate Bill 1090 died. They could have all said, you know what? We don't necessarily agree with House Bill 89, but this is what the people want. This is what we're going to do. And instead, they're behind closed doors now trying to rewrite 1090 into something different, and when they could jump behind House Bill 89 and make it happen.
And a lot of people, though, they don't like the wording of your bill.
Yeah. And
that's another issue that we've heard.
It's ironic because we've tried to ask them what the issues with the wording are, and they can't tell you, or they won't tell you. I've asked them over and over, okay, what's the issue with our language? Well, you know, there's some conflicts. Okay, what's the conflict? Well, it's there. You just have to look at it.
Right.
And so we've ran it back through our attorneys, and they're like, yeah, everything is fine with this. There's no issues. And so the bottom line is they're stalling and coming up with as many excuses as they can not to run this bill forward.
I've alleged that this is all orchestrated by the NRA.
Well, what I can tell you is the NRA does not back House Bill 89. They have not come out and supported it. The Gun Owners of America have. The National Association for Gun Rights has. Two other big national gun groups. So why the NRA doesn't back constitutional carry here in Idaho, I guess you would have to call your local NRA, Friends of NRA rep, and ask them why.
And you haven't talked to them?
I've been in contact with the NRA at the beginning of the session.
What'd they tell you?
I have not heard from them for quite some time, but, you know, the NRA did want us to put off constitutional carry until next year. And I said no, because I've been told next year since 2012, and I'm done with next year.
You have been told next year, and be a good boy, work with the committees. There is a sense of frustration, and we've been with you since the very beginning. I remember when Eric Makrush brought you in that first day.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you've come a long way. But is it just a case of these guys just don't support gun rights, and they don't want that stigma that they're anti-gun?
Yeah, I think they've been able for years now to balance between putting forward a gun bill that looks like a really good pro-gun bill, but it's watered down and it expands, you know, police powers or whatever the case may be. They've been able to put those kind of bills forward, and I think we're opening the citizens' eyes to, hey, we're not getting what you rightfully deserve, what is rightfully already yours in the defense of your life. And so I think that's kind of frustrating to them, that we're not just rolling over and playing this game.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Brian in Meridian for Greg Pruitt at 580KIDO. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, gentlemen. I didn't know what time would be good to denote this, but as you may be aware, Jim Palmer of my district in Meridian, he sponsored the enhanced concealed carry law. Now, the prior year to that, I had talked with him multiple times about our absence of reciprocity with more states and how we would need that. It would be better. Now, of course, then that bill came around, and I learned that he had put it forward. I was like, oh, I wonder if I had any influence on that, or he probably heard a constituent. I went to his, I went to him and talked to him about that, and he said, no, nothing you said had any influence on that. Well, then how did you get the, what, where did that bill come from? He goes, an NRA guy from the East came, flew out and handed me the bill and say, here, put this in. He told me that directly. He listens to out of state, national organization to put forward a bill, and that's why I always supported Idaho Second Amendment Alliance in opposition to that bill, because it was not put forward by the citizens. I'm here stating now, I do believe that with that admission of Palmer, Representative Palmer, to me, I'm going to go on the air and say he violated the state constitution of Idaho, where he failed to listen Article 1, Section 10, which is where he failed to listen to his constituents on what they sought, and instead listens to out-of-state, unconstitutional people to put forward a bill. That's my statement today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's a problem that we've had for some time now, in that the citizens are being ignored. What the citizens want are being ignored. I mean, that's why we sent them there. They work for us. And yet a lot of the Idaho citizens feel like they're being ignored.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Up all night.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You heard the news story. You've denied it several times, but shame on you and your crew.
Yeah, you know, again, we've never published his home phone number, and not that we're opposed to it. Some of the national gun groups have.
So why in the world did he make that accusation then? I mean, if it's on the web, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well,
take your home number off the web there, Lurcher.
You know, I believe that the Idaho citizens have gained some momentum in letting these guys know that they are not happy with the decision they're making right now to hold House Bill 89 hostage. And so what better way to come out and blame gun groups for harassment when I know that a lot of these guys haven't been doing that.
Some now, wait a minute. If you were, if he was a Democrat, that'd be the modus operandi. Yeah. But he's a Republican blaming gun groups. Isn't that his base?
Yeah, yeah. That's the bottom line. The Idaho gun owners aren't, you know, we don't care if you have an R or a D next to your name. If you're holding up good gun bills that expand freedom, we're gonna let you know about
it. Now, you've been through this many times. Are they just trying to run the clock out on you?
That's my best guess, is they are trying to stall out until the end of the session.
So where do we go from here at 580-5436? You've got a sponsor, Representative Scott, but what is it, up to Lurcher? Is it up to Betke? What's the deal?
Ultimately, Chairman Lurcher has the power to let the bill go forward. We believe Speaker Betke is telling him not to let the bill go forward. But ultimately, the chairman could say, you know what, this is what the people want. I'm going to put it forward regardless of what happens. So it's in his court.
How are you going to influence Speaker Betke?
Well, we encourage all of our...
You know, we had him in here once. Liberal Steve said something inappropriate, and he's never come back.
Yeah, no surprise. You know, politicians need to have some thicker skin, I think.
But... Apparently. So how are you going to do this? And look, you're up against the leadership of the state, really. These guys run the state.
Yep, that's correct. Well, that's...
They control the purse strings. They're going to control this and that, and... Quite frankly, they don't have an election for a while, so maybe they can just go, pfft.
Yeah, that might be the decision they make. And, you know, we encourage people to keep reaching out to Speaker Betke and Chairman Lurcher. And in the meantime, we'll, I guess, have to start preparing for campaigning in 2016 and remove those obstacles that are blocking House Bill 89.
Let's put on your headphones for a minute. And, folks, I want you to listen in as well. This was from the White House yesterday, and it goes to, again, the further attacks on guns. This is from some jabroni named Tommy Christopher wearing a fedora indoors. Folks, look, if your mama, if your daddy never told you this, you don't wear a fedora indoors unless you're trying to make a fashion statement. Take the hat off inside, people.
He's this threat from Al-Shabaab on the Mall of America over the weekend. And under current law, as I'm sure you're aware, there's nothing to prevent a couple of lone wolves from going to a gun show and getting everything that they need to inflict mass casualties at a place like the Mall of America. So what I'm wondering is if there's any sort of thought being given to push to close the gun show loophole and strengthen background checks in the interest of national security. And if there isn't, then why not?
Well, the president certainly believes that there are some common sense steps that we can take that would ensure that we continue to protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens while also making it harder for those who shouldn't get guns to get them. The president has pushed a variety of legislative proposals to try to effectuate those changes. The president has also put in place a large number, I think 24 or so, executive actions to try to take those steps. And those executive actions have been important and successful. But there is more work that can be done, again, to implement common sense measures that would both protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans while making it harder for those individuals who shouldn't have firearms from getting them.
Finally, you know that CFAX is going on right now. I just got this over my Twitter.
There you have it. Why, you know, the terrorists are going to go to gun shows to buy guns.
Yeah, you know, they've tried to close the quote-unquote gun show loophole for so many years now, and the statistics already show that nobody, criminals don't go to the gun shows to get ammunition and guns. They go on the black market where they know there's less of a chance of them getting caught. So, it, you know, they're common sense solutions. That's the thing you hear all the time. In fact, it's funny. We actually hear the same thing in our own state, not in regards to the gun show loophole necessarily. But when it comes to constitutional carry, we'll actually be at gun shows talking to some Idaho gun owners who deplore Obama and his common sense solutions. And at the same time, they're okay with the permitting process because they said it's just common sense that people need to get a permit so that they have training. I think, wait a minute here, you're using the same argument that President Obama has.
Well, we'll talk about that next, plus a report with Rachel Sutherland, back to net neutrality. Keep it here, stay informed. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm Andy KIDO. Welcome to Monday. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett is the Manly Man segment. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So I guess you weren't one of the many that watched the House of Cards marathon over the weekend. I know a lot of people did that. I got a lot of text messages from the folks there saying on and on and on about how great it was. I myself didn't watch it, but I'm a hoarder, so one day I will watch it.
Do you like to binge watch? Is that what you like to do?
You know, that was the problem with binge watching is then it's over. Yeah. I'm kind of like the opposite. I like to hoard it all and, you know, crank up everything, whether it's in the old days saving VHS tapes or DVDs and never watching them. And or today it's the DVR thing. But, you know, I will have to say I did binge watch the first two seasons, and it was great. And then it was over. You have nothing. So we'll see. Kevin Spacey, a great actor, but a lot of people binge watch this weekend.
I've never watched House of Cards. Mm-hmm. I've been told by you and by others it's a good show. So it's kind of on my list to go back and catch on Netflix and get caught up. But got a couple other shows I'm doing that too, and I just don't have a whole lot of time for TV. So I got a few I'm working on. Got a few.
Well, a lot of people this weekend, if they weren't doing the House of Cards, if they were into politics, it was all about C-SPAN. And I had a chance to catch Sarah Palin's speech and C-SPAN, mm-hmm. the Conservative Political Action Committee designed for youth. I think Newt Gingrich is the guy that brought that around back in the old days. But it was kind of audition time for all the presidential people. Jeb Bush was there. A lot of people walked out on him. Chris Christie, Rand Paul winning. I guess the Pauls have won like 6 out of the last 5 years. The only time they didn't win was when Mitt Romney won. So the Pauls, the CPAC loves Pauls. But Sarah Palin was speaking, and I don't know. I don't want to lead the witness. Your thoughts on Sarah Palin?
You know, I think Sarah Palin's a very dynamic speaker. I think she has some good conservative values, but I think she is, I hate to say this, but I think she's spent fuel at this point.
Well, she was comparing ISIL and ISIS to the Nazis, and we're going to get a gun and shoot you, and I think that was great in 08, but to me, with all due respect, it seemed overly simplistic when you're thinking of the trial. Yeah, we need to kill them. Yeah, we need to attack them. Yes, we need to do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she was talking about it, I don't know. I was always a big Sarah Palin fan. So
yeah, you know, I still like her, but, you know, I guess I also struggled a little bit when she went on Saturday Night Live and her big special just to help mock herself. And I know self-deprecating humor is a, you know, is a good thing, but I don't know. It just kind of bothers me.
Right. Well, I think that when someone destroys you, like Saturday Night Live did to her, to go on there with Lorne Michaels and Tina Fey, and I agree with you on that. I mean, it was devastating what they did, and it was mean-spirited.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. And you, how could you go, if you were her, how could you go on that show not knowing that they're going to blast you?
Right.
So, I don't know. So, me, I'm looking for new fresh blood, some new energy, some new ideas.
Indeed. So, let's talk a little bit about some controversy involving Saturday Night Live. You brought this up. I had heard about it. I've heard the bit, and throughout the program we'll play it, but why don't you set the table for us?
Well, I don't normally watch Saturday Night Live because I don't find it funny. I haven't found it funny for years, but I'd been watching the news, and I was doing some stuff online, and it started up, and then they went to their first commercial break, and it was kind of that parody of the girl going off to school and dad getting a tear in his eye, when suddenly it's this big white pickup full of ISIS members, or ISIL, depends on who you're listening to, and they're shooting, and the dad's going, take good care of my baby, and she drives off, and they're shooting, doing the whole thing. I sat there with my mouth wide open going, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
And evidently, even NBC themselves now saying that there's controversy surrounding that right now.
Right.
So people not happy with Saturday Night Live and their, you know, the big ha-ha that they tried to have.
Well, and really it comes down to people are saying, well, you know, look, this is good. Finally, somebody taking on ISIS. And I'm thinking to myself,
I don't know if this is the proper forum to do it. And quite frankly, SNL has gotten mean over the years. Mean when it comes to politics, whether it's Sarah Palin. Mean when it comes to George Bush. And it's not a comedy show anymore. It's a political show.
Well, it's always had a taste of that. I mean, it always has, but
not to the level of, I mean, Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford, a little different than Tina Fey saying, "I see the Russians from my porch."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and
to me, that was fun, Chevy. Or I don't even know. Did they have anybody that did Reagan?
Oh, yeah. They had a Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a Reagan.
Now, the Clinton guy, I thought was funny. The Clinton guy was, I mean, he genuinely laughed with us, and even goofy Will Ferrell doing Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But just the, it just seems to be mean.
And then they had the Bob Dole guy. Bob Dole.
Bob Dole, and, you know, the guy that does Obama. Maybe I'm showing my partisanship, but he's kind of funny sometimes, and the Clinton lady. But, man, I don't know. It just, to me, John Belushi was Saturday Night Live. You know, maybe even Eddie Murphy. Because, it, you know, the samurai. The samurai wasn't political.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I was just stunned when I saw that, and I thought, what does that do to combat ISIS?
Well, you know, minimize ISIS, yeah, to make fun of them, to mock them.
Because I got news for you. They're not the JV team. They will lop your head off if they have the chance. I mean, what does that do to minimize all that? I just don't know.
Or even worse, to trivialize it, to go, well, you know, ha, ha, ha. I don't think ISIS is anything to make fun of or to make fun at.
No, I don't either. Now, should we be afraid of them? No, we shouldn't be. We should be standing up tough to them, standing up strong to them.
Right. Well, that's where the proponents of Saturday Night Live will say, see, they did this. They made fun of them. Now, ISIS is the butt of jokes, everybody. And you're going, okay. I
see, that's the thing is, I didn't see ISIS as the butt of the joke. I saw the dad sending his child off to help ISIS as the butt of the joke.
Right.
I didn't see the terrorist in the back of the pickup as the butt of the joke.
Right, and that was Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey was the kid.
Yeah. So,
Well, let's take a listen to this here at 580KIDO. Now, do you remember if there was any profanity in it?
I don't believe there was, no. Unless it was in Arabic.
All right, let's go here.
Do another year of high school.
Very funny, Dad. Jokester.
Well, I'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll see you. Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got it, kiddo.
Dad's like getting all teared up.
You be careful, okay?
Dad, it's just ISIS.
You know, here's the funny thing about that, though. The ad that they're parodying is from the Camry commercial where the father is so proud of his daughter for being in the military.
Yes.
To me, I don't think I'd go there.
I don't think I would either. Even, yeah. As I said, it wasn't a joke. ISIS wasn't the butt of the joke. The dad sending his daughter off to be a member of a terrorist group that's killing people, lopping their heads off,
right,
burning people to death, burning Muslim pilots to death.
Right.
The dad was the butt of the joke.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's so stupid, he doesn't even know what he's sending his child off to. That's how stupid that dad is. That's the butt of the joke.
I suppose. To me, I really like that Camry commercial. It's the best one I've seen. It actually makes sense, but I digress. Back to a couple things. I know you had something to do Friday night, but I actually was working, and while I was working, I was watching the House vote on the Department of Homeland Security funding. Yes, mm-hmm. I did do that. So they extended it for a week. So the big focus in Washington is going to be, can John Boehner keep the crew under control? And it's fascinating because you had 52 Republicans vote against it. One of them, our congressman in the first district here, Congressman Labrador. And now people are saying that John Boehner's leadership could be in jeopardy as the Speaker of the House. Now, what I'm trying to understand is, if that is the case, are we going to have Congressman Labrador run for House leadership? Because remember, a month ago he told us it was stupid to challenge Speaker Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't know.
It's John Boehner is not perfect. John Boehner is not this. And then on the other hand, you have Mike Simpson. Talk about two extremes. Congressman in the second CD, who is arguably best friends with John Boehner, who keeps an entirely different profile. But do you get rid of Boehner? Does that really help things? And I have to say, my mind has been clouded by the House of Cards propaganda about trading and everything else, how it really works. And it all comes back to the president and the illegals. And this is the message that people want to send pertaining to defunding the illegals. To make sure that the Department of Homeland Security isn't funded so the president cannot institute his amnesty program, which, by the way, it's kind of strange because, a federal judge told him it's against the rules, but he might do it anyway.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that.
Right.
Think about how brash that is of a president.
Right.
To go ahead and say, I know what's best for you. I mean, it has become a dictatorship.
Well, and I write about this at 580kido.com called House of Obama. You like that one?
Kind of ripping off House of Cards, are you?
No, I'm not ripping off. I'm melding the fiction with the fact. Fact and fiction.
Oh, I gotcha.
And making the news relevant. And in it, I write about two things. Number one, the issue involving the president and net neutrality. The FCC was not elected, voting 3-2 to be able to monitor your internet, number one. Number two, the idea that all of a sudden he's going to ban the ammunition for the AR-15.
Which, if you want to make a run on ammo, that's exactly what's happening right now.
Going through the roof.
Yeah. But if you want to keep people, the interesting thing is, you think you're going to keep people from using that weapon. People are stockpiled up on that. So, unless you're going to make that ban permanent forever and ever, and then I don't think you can stop people from reloading
right.
Their own. So, I'm not sure what the purpose is.
The purpose is, once again, I guess, to send a message that he can't get it through Congress, he can't get it through the courts, so he's going to do it his way.
Yeah, his way is the best way.
Apparently. So we have that going on. Anything else that you'd like to bring up?
It's March. How about that? We made it through February. It's March.
Yes.
So I'm just looking at my calendar of events and all the things going on in March. Very busy month in March.
Right.
So we got that. But no, it's just another weekend, and people were more interested in the, I've seen videos of pigs eating potato chips and everything else on the news. Nobody seems to be worried about what's happening about the week to... the funding of Homeland Security. Nobody seems concerned about what ISIS is really doing.
You got Benjamin Netanyahu coming to town, and I love John Kerry on the Sunday shows going, well, our relationship with Israel is the closest it's ever been. Really?
Wow.
And there's a report. I was looking at that a little. There was a report that apparently we threatened to shoot down some Israeli planes if they went after Iran.
I saw that last night on the Drudge Report, and yeah. I clicked in to read it, and I couldn't. It wouldn't.
I know,
go to
it's
the
just
story.
One of those goofy things that Drudge does. Yeah,
and I'm thinking, is that true? Could that be that our administration claimed that they would do that?
Right.
So, but I didn't get to read the article, so I don't know. But if that is the case, holy cow!
Holy cow!
Yeah. So I don't know. And you've got Benjamin Netanyahu coming to town. He's going to speak to Congress, but the president didn't invite him, and I think is probably going to snub his visit totally.
Right.
But yet, we're willing to meet with anyone else, talk to anyone else.
Well, and that's the deal. We limit Israel. And really, here is what it is. It comes down to the resume tour.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. They go, oh, history's going to remember Obama as the, you know, what he did. Look at healthcare. Look at this. And I go, yeah. And if you didn't live through the time, it's like when people say that Bill Clinton had a great economy. Clinton's economy was in the tank because of the retroactive tax increases he put on everybody. And Dave Burnett, you remember what saved him. It was the dot-com boom bust.
Oh, yeah.
That's and towards the end of the Clinton regime, the dot-com boom was going bust. But, oh, Clinton had a great economy. The reason why, and he had a huge Social Security surplus, but historians don't put that in. And just like Obama, he got us out of Iran. He got us out of Afghanistan. He unemployment was at Lord Rex. The stock market was huge. Yeah, but what about the real employment? And let's delve a little further. Can anybody tell me that the Middle East is better under a Barack Obama than it was under George Bush?
Well, I know this. He also cut the military like crazy. He saved a lot of government money by cutting military.
Who?
Clinton,
yes. The Base Realignment Closure Commission. He took Bush's thing and took it to the next level. And, you know, the president doing that stealthily, if you will.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, Bill Clinton saved a lot of government money by...
The problem with this gentleman is that he, whatever he cuts, he expands to social programs.
Yeah, he goes from military to social. But yet, I've seen slappies in the hallway saying, yeah, he's cutting the budget everywhere.
It's like, yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, okay, you just keep believing that. But I digress. I need to do this. You ready?
Sure.
Do some traffic now as you come.